Manual, Chapter 2, Section 2. Jointing a board's face. When the board has acclimated to your shop, you're ready to begin the milling process. First, let's assume the board is relatively flat, without any warp. Later on, we'll discuss how to handle the four types of warp. Start the four squaring process at the jointer. The jointer should be set for a light cut of no more than 1/32 inch. You're cutting across the full width of the board, and you don't want to lug down the motor. Orient the board on the infeed table so that the edge grain is falling away from the cutter head. This is important to avoid tear out. The edge grain should run from the upper edge of the board down towards the trailing end on the bottom edge of the board. For tightly grained or irregularly grained woods, likely you will have to rely on trial and error to determine which way to orient the board. Joint the board one direction, and if that direction produces a smooth cut, continue to joint in that direction. If the cut produces tear out, reverse the direction and see if that is better. Telling grain by feel. Sometimes grain direction can be felt by running your fingers down the length of the face of the board. One direction will feel smooth to the touch, but the opposite direction will feel a slight roughness. This roughness is going against the grain, while the smooth feeling is with the grain, much like stroking a cat's fur with or against the grain. The face should be placed down flat on the jointer bed, with the smooth direction running down towards the trailing end of the board. Telling grain direction by feel will not be possible with all boards. Of the more common domestic woods, you have a better chance of feeling the grain direction with open-pored woods, such as white oak, red oak, and sometimes poplar, but usually not with more closed-pored woods, such as walnut, cherry, and maple. Bob Kennedy uses his fingernail to check for grain direction, since his hands have become so toughened from years of use, and his sense of touch no longer feels sensitively. Jointing the first face. Joint one face only, using push blocks to move the board and to protect your fingers. Use a flat bottom push pad with a cushioned underside in your left hand to lightly hold the board flat and steady as it passes over the cutter head. Do not push down hard, because that possibly will flex the board. In your right hand, use a push block with an overhanging lip or wooden hook at the end of the block to grip and push the board over the jointer head. Be careful not to apply too much downward pressure with this block on the end of the board, since the pressure will lift up the opposite end of the board and not allow it to be jointed properly. If the board is long, begin by merely resting the lipped push block on the upper face of the board and push the board with your hand until the end approaches the beginning edge of the infeed table of the jointer bed. By this time, more of the board will be beyond the cutter head and on to the outfeed table, thus providing some counterbalance. You can then pick up the push block, position it at the trailing end of the board, and continue pushing the board safely over the cutter head. Do not hesitate too long before continuing to push the board, or you will risk the cutter head gouging a line across the width of the board as it sits motionless over the cutter head. You may want to make two or three passes across the jointer to ensure that the face of the board is jointed absolutely flat. Feed rate. You want to pass the board over the knives smoothly with a slow and even feed rate. If you feed too rapidly, The jointer will leave a series of spaced ripples on the face of the board. If you feed too rapidly, the jointer will leave a series of spaced ripples on the face of the board. If you feed too slowly, you risk possibly burning the face and unduly dulling the knives. If you stop feeding, you risk the cutter head gouging a curved recess across the face of the board. So work on developing a smooth, slow, and even feed rate. Jointer machine marks. Even with a proper feed rate, the jointer may leave a series of finely spaced minute ripples across the face of the board, particularly if the knives are dull. These ripples can be removed with a hand plane or can be sanded off with 120 grit sandpaper as you prepare the board for finishing. In fact, it's always a good idea to take a couple of very fine shavings with a hand plane or cabinet scraper to remove machine marks and to avoid the need for heavy sanding. Thickness plane the opposite face. Now with one face jointed, it becomes the reference face, and you're ready to move to the thickness planer to plane the opposite face exactly parallel to the jointed face. Set the planer for a light cut. Place the jointed face down onto the bed of the planer. To avoid tear-out, it's important to orient the board so that the grain direction rises towards the overhead cutters and towards the trailing end of the board. The best way to remember proper grain orientation is to position the board with its jointed face down and with the leading end from the jointer now becoming the trailing end in the planer. To minimize warping, be sure that you take off the same amount of wood from both faces. If you pass the board over the jointer knives 3 times, do the same for the planer. Planing the board thinner. If the board is thicker than you want, say the board is 3/4 inch thick and you want a board only 5/8 inch thick, use the thickness planer to bring the board to the desired thickness dimension. But in doing so, be sure to take off the same amount from both sides. To maintain proper grain orientation and to avoid tear-out, after planing one side, flip the board over end for end and repeat this after every pass. This will keep the grain properly oriented. Dealing with irregular or swirly grain. When a board has straight grain, the thickness planer does a beautiful job of leaving a smooth, even surface that might almost feel silky. But the thickness planer turns mean when faced with difficult grain, leaving a pocked surface of tear-out. If you have irregular, swirly, wavy, or tight grain on the face of the board, dampen the face of the board to be planed with a wet rag to soften the fibers, wipe off any excess moisture, and then feed the board at a slight angle to minimize tear-out. Thickness planer machine marks. The thickness planer may leave a series of finely spaced minute ripples, particularly if the knives are dull. These ripples can be removed with a hand plane or sanded with 120 grit sandpaper. It's always a good idea to take a couple of very fine shavings with a hand plane or card scraper to remove machine marks and avoid the need for heavy sanding. Thicknessing with a drum sander. An alternative to the thickness planer is the drum sander. This machine has a large, heavy, horizontal drum wrapped with sandpaper, a smooth, level bed, and rollers to move the workpiece through the sander. The drum sander is a much slower alternative, since it is difficult to take off much over 1/32 of an inch with each pass, Passes usually are made in 1/64 inch increments. But the drum sander is an excellent alternative for thicknessing wood with irregular grain, since there is absolutely no tear-out. Joint the first edge. Once both faces are flat and parallel, place the reference face against the fence of the jointer and proceed to joint one edge of the board. The jointer fence must be set at exactly 90 degrees in order to get a square edge. It is important to keep the reference face tightly against the fence so that the edge will be jointed square to the face. Once again, be sure to orient the grain of the board properly to avoid tear-out. The grain should run from the top edge of the board diagonally down towards the trailing end of the board. Unfortunately, this grain direction usually cannot be felt. It's also important to press down lightly but firmly on the board so that it stays level on the infeed table and in contact with the cutter head as the board passes over the knives. If the board is wide enough, say at least 3 or 4 inches wide, you won't need push sticks, but can use your hands to keep the board in position. With a wide board, your fingers will be well away from the cutter head. Press down lightly and press firmly against the face to be sure that you get a square edge. Place the fingers of your left hand on the top edge of the board and the thumb of your left hand against the upper side of the back face of the board to hold it firmly against the fence. Bob Kennedy says that he has big hands, and as a safety reference, he drapes the fingers of his left hand over the top of the fence, uses his thumb to keep the board against the fence, and then uses his right hand to do all the feeding. Alternatively, put your left thumb on top of the board and cup your fingers against the face of the board. Use the fingers and thumb of your right hand to grip the top edge and end of the board in order to move the board forward. If the board is narrow, say less than 3 or 4 inches wide, then you will need a push stick to hold the board in position. Don't let your fingers get near the spinning knives, and don't let your right hand fingers slip down off the back end of the board. I speak from experience. Adjusting jointer depth of cut. Like many woodworkers, I keep the jointer knives set to take a very, very thin cut, even when jointing an edge. But if the edge is narrow, you could increase the depth of cut to about 1/16 inch. I do this only if the edge is irregular or wavy and a substantial amount of material must be removed to get it straight. A somewhat deeper cut reduces the number of times the edge has to be run over the jointer to get it straight, but it also makes for a slightly rougher cut. Listen to the machine as you move the edge over the cutter head. You will hear a definite working sound when the jointer is cutting, but you will hear a much smoother sound when the jointer is not cutting the edge. This means that the edge is not in contact with the cutter head, usually because there is a small crook or curve along the edge. But it also may mean that you have mistakenly pushed the end of the board down, tilting the edge up off the cutter head. Repeat the cut until you hear a working sound continuously along the full length of the edge. Armando Del Gobble uses an awl to lightly scratch the edge of the board every 3 or 4 inches. When the scratch marks are shaved off by the jointer, he knows the board's edge is flat. Jointer machine marks. The jointer may leave a series of finely spaced, minute ripples along the edge, particularly if the knives are dull. These ripples can be removed easily with a hand plane, disc sander, or palm sander. Router can edge joint a board. With the router set up with a flush trim bit and a router table, edges of boards can be jointed flat. Rip the second edge. You now have both faces flat and parallel to each other and square to one flat edge. To make the second edge parallel to the first, take the board to the table saw. Position the jointed edge against the fence and rip the opposite edge. Use a feather board to hold the board tight against the rip fence and use a push stick to move the board forward and through the blade. Machine marks. Once again, a hand plane can be used to remove saw blade machine marks from the cut edge, or the marks can be sanded away. Result. Your board is now milled four square, so that each face is flat and square to the adjoining face. Repeat this process for all of your pieces. This may be tedious, but it is essential for quality work. The process works best when all pieces go through the same step one after another before adjusting the planer for the next cut. That way you can be sure that all pieces come out with exactly the same thickness. End of Chapter 2, Section 2.